Hi, this is John Edwards, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Steven, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. Steve is still on vacation. This is podcast number 368, August 13th, 2009. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly is brought to you by Yahoo Ads, from Corvette ZR to PBR. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Nash, and of course, we all love our PBRs. On today's program, Schumacher cancels his F1 comeback. This host believes Badoer is the wrong choice. Motorsports Mondial with my co-host Nasser Hamid. And of course, we're going to have a special repeat interview, and that's the theme this month, is we're repeating some of these great interviews. And of course, this one is with Romain Grosjean. And of course, very significant since Nelsino is on the boat going back to La Casa, and Mr. Grosjean is doing straight-line testing in the Renault. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Very good, sir. Thank you. And also, we would like to welcome our illustrious executive producer, Mr. David Tapia.
Of course. This is when he gets his hazardous duty pay, when he actually has to come in here and produce the program.
And there have been a few comments about the palatial studios on the forum. Have you been keeping an eye on those?
Yes, I have. And people don't understand. Occasionally, the palatial studios have to be renovated. The marble has to be cleaned. You know, the ducting, we've got coit on it.
Chandeliers.
Exactly. All that has to be sanitized and deodorized, and therefore, we are in a rental unit that I have decorated myself. So there you have it. Enough said. Let's go right to the top headline. The roller coaster I call Herr Schumacher. What is going on here? I'm excited. One day, all of a sudden, he pulls the rug out of everybody. Tickets in Valencia soared. Because some people thought that Fernando, and still, there may not be a Fernando, so we had a Schumacher, now we don't have a Schumacher, and they were hoping that they might get Marc Genet, but we don't got no stinking Marc Genet, we got a Badoer. Nas, please, help me out here.
Well, for you, the best therapy is, I'm told, the Renault trucks have arrived in Valencia.
Correct.
With or without Nando. We don't know what's going to happen, but I think he will be in the race in Renault.
I believe so, too.
Yeah, but were you surprised that Mr. Schumacher has some issues with his neck?
I was completely floored. Because first I was floored when I saw that he was coming in. Then I was floored because he's coming out. Because obviously the injuries to his neck that he sustained in a motorcycle accident in February were much more severe than he even thought. And of course the testing of the F2007 really proved, especially with the slick tires, increased grip, really proved to be the hammer went down. I mean, he could not sustain a full race.
What I read in between the lines regarding his injuries, that apparently whatever the injuries were, they were not advertised, and probably more, maybe not serious, but more damaging than most people were known
exactly.
were aware of it. So it probably caught up to him. Yeah, but it was, you know, even when there was a lot of talk that he was coming, there was some concern that, oh, not so fast. So I had some doubt that maybe there was some medical situation, he may not be cleared.
Exactly.
Because if you don't get cleared by the doctor, you know, you're not going to be in a Grand Prix car.
Exactly, and that's one thing that Formula One takes really seriously is the medical aspect and your physical ability to get out of the car in a few seconds for safety reasons. And, of course, any kind of vertebrae damage in your neck is going to be scrutinized.
But Senor Montezemolo is not giving up. He's now talking about three cars next year and bringing Schumacher again.
And I think Montezemolo is a little... And I have a funny... I don't feel good because I have a funny feeling his television is going to be taking it right in the face. Schumacher put off, said he was comfortable with his life the way it is. All of a sudden, they brought this up because of the sad injury to Felipe Massa, which, you know, we wish him well. He'll be fine. But now Montezemolo's talking about a third car coming back next year. Maybe not. He might not be here next weekend for the European Grand Prix in Valencia, but they're talking Monza, the Tifosi. The Italians are going wild. I mean, I think they should nip this in the bud because you're going to have a lot of sad people. People buying tickets and all of a sudden Schumacher's not going to be there. I think they need to tone this down a little bit because they're going into that slippery slope, they might say.
But my guess is that most of the people who will come there would be Nando fans.
España, of course. Yeah. But I'm talking about Monza because Montezemolo is, you know, he's promising the world to the Tifosi.
Well, the Tifosi is like the English people love motor racing.
So I understand.
They'll just show up.
That's true. Michael Schumacher, I believe, was devastated. Quote, obviously I'm very frustrated and disappointed about what has happened. We were preparing in a very tough way and we've done everything possible, but from the start, Ferrari and I have always said that I would have raced for Felipe if I had been ready. It's a pity that we didn't reach this goal, unquote. I feel sorry for him because all of a sudden now he got brought into the hype and the media hype. And I'm sure he was sleeping at night seeing himself on the podium again.
Oh, top step. I mean,
oh, absolutely, with the jump and the spray. I mean, and the Deutschland Uber Alles. It's a blow to a lot of people.
Well, sure, but you know, I'll tell you the thing about him is Lucas made a comment that I read that when Luca asked Michael to do these races. He said he was excited like a kid, not like a 7-time world champion. So this guy is very committed. I mean, he was not going to come there for fun and games or have a, you know, gelato or whatever ice cream they have in Spain. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, and of course, everybody wanted to see him teamed up with Kimi Raikkonen. Lewis Hamilton was out saying, oh my goodness, I get to race against the 7-time world greatest Formula One driver. I mean, everybody was excited. Vettel. It would have been a great thing to see. I was pretty excited about it, and there you have it. I probably said it enough. Now, let's go quickly.
Ben, being a street race, he would have really... I mean, I would have been surprised if he was not on the podium.
No, I absolutely agree. Even with a car that wasn't as competitive as perhaps a Red Bull. I'm not sure how Braun's going to do next weekend because they have taken a few steps backwards, but we will not see what happens.
Yeah, and if it was a rain race, it would be over by lap 3 or 2.
Wow.
That's, you know, when you have it, you have it. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Even when you're a little older.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Luca Badoer. He's been their test driver for 10 years, a decade. He started in 93, I believe. I think, and the one guy on the grid that's still there is Rubinho. They could hug and talk about the good old days. But very bizarre, out of racing for 10 years. Don't get me wrong, I know he's in tip-top physical condition, does the racing, but he hasn't even raced the F60. I think this is a really bad choice, and this shows that Ferrari does not have a nice development program for young drivers as Renault and Red Bull does. Renault going with the Grosjean after going fired to Mr. Piquet, and they have to go with this guy who's been around 10 years.
Well, the problem these days, first of all, he's their test driver, so he's not... He won't be getting in the cockpit asking where the clutch is or the brake is. Or
of course. So he, no, he I think he'll be
car.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be okay, and he is what he is. He's up there in age, so he's not going to set the world on fire. But the thing is, you know, when you try to hire young drivers, whether it's Hülkenberg or somebody else, you know, everybody is tied to has some commercial interest. You just cannot go in the old days and get somebody. I mean, I don't think BMW will release Kubica because they have a few more races to go. And those who have not driven a Formula One machinery, not a good idea to bring them in a Ferrari.
I know, but if they had a good program, for instance, when Kubica had his accident in Canada, bingo, United States Grand Prix, they had Sebastian Vettel. And what a marvelous job he did, because he was in the wings. He had tested the car. Of course, we had testing that season. We don't now, which I think can be a problem in terms of safety and development, but that's another story. But still, I think if they had a good program like BMW or Renault or Red Bull, they would have a young driver ready and gunning to go, and somebody that's for the future. I mean, now they're De Monza Molo is all excited about a 40-year-old German guy. I mean, that's a sad state of affairs. They should be excited about some young whippersnapper, like a Romain Grosjean or a Hulkenberg, you know, or a Summerton, or what have you, all that young talent. I think it's a little sad. They've got this older test driver they're going to put in the car now, because the older machismo can't cut the mustard. So I think this is showing some weakness on Ferrari, and they need to get this fixed. Okay, let's go right to Romain Grosjean. I know the weekend, we have one more weekend before this race, and this break has been brutal for all of us. But how do you think Romain is going to do?
Well,
you've seen him race. You've interviewed the guy.
I think the only three people I can think of who would do worse than Nelson or Piquet would be myself, Clark Rogers, and Desiree. So I think Romain Grosjean is going to do better than David Tapia. I think will do better than Nelson or Piquet.
Probably.
Yeah, he's seen him.
Yeah, and he hangs out on the beach and does that stuff, like Nelson.
Yeah.
So
the bedazzled stars and all that.
Exactly. Yeah, I read about that. Don't know nothing about it, but I read about it.
No, I think is he going to rattle? Well, the first race is street race, so he might be a little bit closer to Nando than on a Monza or Spa. But I don't think this guy has what it takes to rattle the cage of Fernando Alonso. But he might do a little bit better than Nando in a couple of races throughout the season. But this is no Nico Scherzinger's boyfriend, let me tell you that. Even though he's very good.
Yeah, he's very good. I say the first thing he has to be focused on is Fernando. Beat your teammate first.
No, you know.
At least get the grips. Catch him by a few tenths.
Learn the business.
Nelsino, he was always a half second, full second off. He's got to close that gap a little bit just to make Flavio happy.
Yeah, but see, you don't want to do that in the first two races. You just listen to the team and what they tell you, because they always basically guide you to success. You know,
That's true.
Just don't jump.
But let's not forget, he's been with the Renault development program for quite a while, so I think he's going to be fairly comfortable with the engineers.
Yeah, he's gone from being a Swiss to a French driver. So
see,
they are really guiding him towards.
I like that. I think the French driver was the right decision.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
And I'm a big Romain Grosjean fan, so am I for Nico Hülkenberg, so I'm excited.
And of course, the record for you interviews and successes for these drivers has been pretty good so far, so we'll see what happened. But, you know, I think Ferrari could have even, you know, maybe they should have had like a Bruno Senna in the wings. That would have been exciting. That would have been very exciting. Yeah. So I'm a little bit disappointed with De Montes de Molo looking to the past for the future. Schumacher is not their future. They need to be a little more progressive and have more vision. But that's just my personal opinion.
No, that's an emotional opinion. I mean, you mentioned the name Bruno Senna. Yeah, it would be great. There is this young Italian, Mirko Bortolotti, who's racing in F2. He would be very good. But, you know, these are complex machinery. It takes time to get going.
I mean,
even when a good driver, a lot of drivers with a lot of experience jump teams or the new car, it takes time to get going.
I agree, but I think the track in Valencia would have been a perfect opportunity for a younger driver. Also, for the fact that it's an easy track. Adrian Sutil was whimpering about how easy it is. It's not challenging. It's boring. And we remember, we've seen the procession last year. It was fairly boring if Ferrari didn't have all the activities in the paddock. I'm hoping it's more exciting this year, and I think they've redesigned some of the chicanes to add a little more excitement, but we will see what happens. So we're going to take a quick break. We got Motorsports Mondial coming up, and of course we have the repeat interview between Nasser Hamid, and I should call this a conversation, because they're really never these impersonal interviews. These are conversations between man and racing driver. Keep up the good work, Nasser.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to briefly...
The tortilla chips are very tasty.
Oh, you're welcome. Just got them fresh out of the cafeteria. Real quickly, I want to mention that we have added a new feature on the front page, the donate button. That's for people who feel like we need, you know, an influx.
We need to move up to guacamole chips.
Exactly, you know, better food, better suntan lotion. So there you have, the donate button is back up on the front page as it was a few years ago. So if you're feeling frisky.
No, I think you should be serious and let them know. Our executive producer is working on trying to increase our, what is it, the hard drive, gigabyte, more gigabytes.
Yes, we need more drive space, hard drive. We want to be in every country in the world, in different languages. And unfortunately, we are on the low budget right now, so none of this is happening. And we had to put up the donate button. But there you have it. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Motorsports Mondial after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And before I begin spinning the globe, I want to quickly remind our listeners that we have our Twitter site. Please tweet to us, and we will tweet to you. And, of course, stay tuned after Motorsports Mondial for the Romain Grosjean conversation with Nasser Hamid. So here we go. As we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the man himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards. Today we have Motorsports and Musical Mondial featuring the work of one of our regular listeners from Spain, Senor Javier Garcia Vicente, who now lives in the Netherlands. And next week we will have music from our friend in Germany, Mr. Richard Bright.
Exactly. This is going to be something, it's going to be a new feature on F1 Weekly. If you're a composer, come on down.
Exactly. My El Grande gracias for Mr. Vicente's express digital consent to play his music royalty-free. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, royalty-free.
I think those zero checks are illegal in Europe.
Let me put it this way. If your music is being played on F1 Weekly and we have a donate button, that says it all.
Okay. That's called singing the blues. Anyway, very pleased to let our listeners know F1 Weekly, and this was written before the donate button got on the web. F1 Weekly is the only business in the world which has remained, at least so far, totally unaffected by the global financial meltdown, because even if you lose half your zeros, you still have quite a few.
Well, especially here.
Absolutely.
And you get most of them for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And the executive producer.
Yeah. You know the Olympic logo, the five rings? I think we should have a logo like that with like maybe 55 rings.
I'll put in a request.
Yeah. Talking of money, here is a sample of Javier's tune called Dinero. Okay, we shall start with the motorsports festivities with Formula One and waiting in the wings, and we already touched a little bit on this. But let me read the script, because we pay top dollars to
our writers.
The big news from Shuey, he's on, he's off. Man who wrote his own ticket at Scuderia Ferrari has now decided to skip the race in Valencia, citing medical grounds following a neck injury in a fall from a motorcycle race. And I noticed on one of the logos on one of the bikes, he was on a Honda. I'm surprised Ferrari didn't put him on a Vespa scooter or something like that.
I think he's got a lot of leeway.
With Luca?
Yeah.
Yeah, Luca will do anything for him.
TVs, Hondas, whatever it takes.
Oh, yeah. And Luca has now given his blessings to another Luca, Badur, that is. And just some more info on him. You know, he's 38 years old and has been a Ferrari test driver for 12 years. That's pretty impressive.
That's, it's almost an entire racing career.
Absolutely.
Even though he did drive for some, well, some terrible teams.
That's the way it goes. But he made it to Formula One. And in 19... This is a little background on his racing career. He was the 1992 Formula 3000 Championship, and which was, of course, what GP2 is now today. And this is something that he would definitely like to get rid of. He has taken part in 48 Grand Prix races and has never scored a point. So this is his golden opportunity. A change is going to come soon. And like you mentioned, he came in Formula One racing in 1993, same year as Rubinho. So Rubinho has been there for... And actually, when he goes into the race, he will be the oldest Grand Prix driver in the field. And his best finish so far has been the seventh in the 1993 San Marino Grand Prix in a Ferrari-powered Lola. You know who won that race?
In 93?
Yeah.
Probably. It wasn't Michael Andretti, I don't think.
That was Renault-powered Williams of Monsieur Alain Prost. So, okay, next. Grosjean, good to go. After a visit from Western Union man who delivered the bad news on the doorstep, saying, "Your services are no longer required." Have you ever heard this?
Yes.
I've also, quite a few times. It's never a good feeling.
So it's not a good feeling, but there you have it.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
even had to do it here at F1 Weekly a couple of times.
Really?
Brutal.
Oh, wow. So, who did you fire? Holly Samos?
I can't tell you. That's top secret.
Yeah, okay. Nelsinho will not... You know, on one of the websites I was looking at today, major website, Crash.net or Autosport, there was a vote, you know, will Nelsinho find another place in
another
the Formula One team? And 33% said yes, and rest majority, like 67, they said no. What say you?
Well, the problem is he's just not a very fun and happy guy to be around. Extremely grumpy. Of course, we saw the press release after he was let go, calling Flavio the executioner, which is a little over the top. I mean, you're still in your early 20s. Take it easy, guy. But with that kind of attitude, and a lot of attitude is 50% of the job. I think a lot of Bourdais' problems were attitude and his interface with the team. So Nelsinho will not be back in Formula One. Unless his papa buys a team. Then it's a different story.
And I agree with you. Grosjean was a late starter in motor racing, but a very quick learner and winner. His previous championships include Swiss and French Formula Renault, F3 Euro Series, and GP2 Asia. He is currently second in the 2009 GP2 Championship behind another F1-bound driver, the amazing Hulk, Nico Hülkenberg. You know, when I was talking to Nico Hülkenberg last year at Mugello, I asked him, you know, when do you expect to make your Formula One debut? And he says, well, I want to do GP2 first, so I'm ready. And what Grosjean has done 2 years of GP2, that's what good drivers should do. You know, at least get, you know, don't jump into Formula One just because you want to be in Formula One, because more good drivers fail in Formula One than succeed. So better to come in well prepared.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter if you're a top talent. Doesn't matter what team you go to. We've seen people go to Minardi and become world champion. You know, we've seen people go to Tolman, become world champion, Jordan in their first year. So All drivers may be born equal, but by the time they get to Formula One, some are more equal than others.
That's true. There's those special people.
Absolutely. Nando is one of them, so you feel good.
I feel great.
Yeah. I would love to... Yeah. Oh, talking of Nando, you know, he may be changing teams at the end of the season, which is coming up.
Well, yeah, I'm so tired of this rumor. Please put it away.
You are tired of hearing about Nando?
No, I didn't say that. We all know he's going.
Who has put a spell on you?
Put a spell on me.
Paul Tracy?
Yeah.
Okay, Grosjean has been in the Renault Driver Development Program, which includes automatic membership in the Briatore Barracuda Driver Management, and that Barracuda has just taken a Brazilian bite. He is on his way to Rio, Sao Paulo. Actually, Senior now lives in Brasilia, the capital city of Brazil. Medical leave for another ex-world champion, Casey Stoner, will miss the next three MotoGP races, which will be taking place in Brno, Czech Republic, Indianapolis, USA, and Misano Adriatico, Italy, and will be replaced by Mika Kallio of Finlandia. And talking of Misano Adriatico, this is the track where Wayne Rainey, who now lives right where the Laguna Seca track is, he had his unfortunate accident at this track in Italy, which ended his racing career. South Africa, I was happy to hear this. South Africa has decided not to bid for a Grand Prix, and money saved from Bernie's bottomless pocket will be used for job creation. Nice to know common sense can be bought for less than $30 million plus a 10% annual increase. I think this was a very smart move on their part.
It's a very smart move. I mean, even though there's a lot of passion for racing, they've got better priorities to spend money on.
No kidding. Most of these countries. Bank on it, Santander. He's back. The Spanish banking company is expected to be announced as a Ferrari sponsor for 2010 and beyond at Monza. Their excess baggage of pesetas will probably include a seat for Nando at Maranello. And I'm looking forward to it, I kid you.
Absolutely.
Not.
Next year, I will be saying El hombre muy macho de España en italiano.
Yeah. But common sense will dictate that Santander should also come with a bank guarantee that following drivers will not... You don't want to make the same mistake twice, okay? We all make mistakes.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that there should be a bank guarantee, okay, that these drivers will not be Nando's teammate. Sebastian Vettel, Nico Hülkenberg, and that guy again, name escapes my mind, who is in love with Nicole Scherzinger. What's his name, Mr. Rogers? I'll give you a hint. The Montreal Red Light Special.
Schumacher. It's all Schumacher this week, Nasser. That's the only name I can say.
Okay, that's good. Take it to the bank. Sebastian Bourdais will be paid $2.1 million by Toro Rosso to avoid legal action. And my recommendation is, you know, he should listen to, who's the guy doing, Shatner?
William Shatner.
Priceline.com. He says, discount tickets available from Charles de Gaulle to Chicago O'Hare. I'm sure our man in Chicago area, Larry Carter, will be pleased to drive him to Newman Haas Lenningen Racing Shop, which is not far from the wonderful airport of the Windy City. And the only request I have for Bourdais is, bring a friend, as in Nelsinho Piquet.
I think Bourdais is going to stay in Europe.
I think so, too.
His wife wants to raise the kids in France. He wants to be closer to family. Paul Newman is gone. It's a different scenario. And I think he'll stick to maybe sports car racing. And some of the new teams coming in, like Campos, might pick up an experienced race car driver.
You think so?
He'll be cheap.
No, that's very true. Johnny B. Goode, three-time Grand Prix winner Johnny Herbert, will drive a Honda Civic in the British Touring Car Championship. He will replace James Thompson, who has joined the Red Brigade in the World Touring Car Championship, driving the Lada machine. And before we cross the pond for racing action on this side, here is some more music from our friend Javier, and this is taken from the song July Rain. Thank you. Okay, we're back stateside. IndyCar racing from Mid-Ohio. You know, Mid-Ohio was a pretty happening place last week, and almost every race series was there, as we shall see. IRL was there. Victory number 20 makes Scott Dixon from New Zealand the winningest driver in IRL history, one ahead of Sam Hornish. The Kiwi finished ahead of Aussie Ryan Briscoe and also retakes the lead from Briscoe in the championship. Dario Franchitti was third with Ryan Hunter Ray fourth, and Ryan Hunter's girlfriend is Robbie Gordon's sister. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, Nasser. Keep up the good work with the trivia.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And your man, your hombre, Frank Montani, will race for Andretti Green Racing at Sears Point, also known as Infineon Raceway, later this month. Are you going to the Sears Point race, sir?
No, sir. I'm only sending you.
Thank you, sir. No interest in meeting Danica?
I have some interest, but I've got things to do, Nasser. Her poster in my bedroom will just have to suffice.
Oh, very good. Say no more. Do you have a Milka Duno will also be there. Do you have a cuddly bear of Milka Duno or a poster of her also?
I do.
Okay.
It's a decoupage, and they're sort of intermingling.
Oh, do they have like little towels in their hands?
It's possible, Nasser. Oh,
that's good. Okay, Frank Montani will race for Andretti Green Racing, which is interesting. And it's looking more and more likely that Danica is a moving target for Chip Ganassi Racing Team next season and will be leaving Andretti Green.
Good for her.
Marco is going to be heartbroken.
Well, Marco's doing that, you know, Razor commercial on television, so he's got money coming
in. Is he trying to look more machismo?
It's not working.
It's not working?
No.
On and off the track? Okay.
They call him Micro for a reason.
Oh, the name has changed from Marco to Micro?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's the way it goes.
Oh, things move fast in motor racing. New team in IRL, Indy 500 winner and two-time car champion Gilles Deferrand will add two IRL cars to his stable of two American Le Mans cars starting next season. And Gilles Deferrand also drove at Mid-Ohio in the American Le Mans series and took his fourth consecutive victory with another of your homeboy, Simon Pagenaud, in their Acura. Indy Lights, James Davison was the winner. This was like a J&J show. James Davison was the winner. James Hinchcliffe was second, and J.R. Hildebrand was third. Formula Atlantic and all these series were at Mid-Ohio. Formula Atlantic, Jonathan Summerton was the dominant winner from pole position. Swiss Miss Simona Di Silvestro was second and is still the top cheese in the championship. Borja Garcia from Spain and a one-time GP2 racer was third. There you have it. You know, you are in GP2 trying to knock on the door of Formula 1, and now you are not only across the Atlantic, but in Formula Atlantic. So things can change.
Quickly.
Well, yeah. Now we come to your favorite series.
Le NASCAR.
They were turning, or trying to turn right and left. Watkins Glen, the nationwide race on Saturday was won by Marcus Ambrose of Australia for the second year in a row. Sunday's sprint race was postponed till Monday due to rain. So this was two weekends in a row that a Sunday race was postponed till the next day. And Marcus Ambrose came in second, smoked only by Tony Stewart. And this was win number 36 for the Indiana native and one-time IRL superstar. You know, he was in IRL in there, I think, first or second year.
I remember when he was jumping from an IRL race to a NASCAR race, and he'd take a helicopter, and he was doing open wheel and the NASCAR circuit. No, that's when I thought Tony Stewart was fairly machismo.
No, he's a very good racing talent, and he's like, you know, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
Exactly.
He speaks his mind, so I like that.
Yeah, did you see some of these accidents at Watkins Glen? It was completely out of control.
Yeah, I saw some of the action. Actually, I taped the race. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but you know, who knows, maybe I'll watch it today and call it the NASCAR Mundial.
There you go. You pick up a couple of PBRs and a few hot dogs on your way home, Nasser.
Good idea. Thank you, sir. Okay, now what we're going to do is, I was very surprised, not a lot of racing action this weekend in Europe. There was no British F3, no DTM.
Everybody's on vacation there.
Yeah, apparently. So anyway, so which brings us or forces us into Lap Ahead, a look at racing action this coming weekend. This weekend is getting busy now. Formula 2, Donington Park, first race for them since the tragedy at Brands Hatch, which took the life of Henry Surtees. F3 Euro Series, they will be at Nürburgring. Jules Bianchi of France leads the championship. And very impressive showing so far by rookie Valtteri Bottas of Finlandia. And he also won the F3 Masters, which was very, very impressive. Sharing the weekend with F3 racers will be DTM, the German touring cars, and the legend that is Ralf Schumacher. Yeah. British F3, they will be at Silverstone sharing the weekend with Formula Ford, where young American Joseph Newgarden is second in the series, and you can follow his career by logging on to www.raceroftomorrow.com. MotoGP in Brno, Czech Republic. Rossi leads the championship from Yamaha teammate Jorge Lorenzo. And man, I gotta tell you something, I just can't get enough of that last three laps of the Catalunya Grand Prix. I was watching again this past weekend.
He's off! He's back again!
Incredible. Incredible racing. American Le Mans Series, they will be in Wisconsin at Road America, one of the best tracks in North America. You know, this track, just my personal opinion, forgetting, you know, taking out the safety aspect or FIA standards, as the track is, it's, I would say, right now, better than 50-60% of the tracks they're using in Formula One right now. What say you?
I think it's an outstanding American track, and yeah, we should be all proud.
And they, all they need to do is throw some money and turn it into F1 spec.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This could be the future.
This to me, this track is like the old Österreichring in Austria.
Right.
Beautiful location, fast flowing corners, and that's the tragedy, you know. And with all the resources and money in America, they can pour some money into this and turn it into a very nice. It's not too far from Chicago. And I understand. And Milwaukee is based, I mean, Miller Brewing is right there.
So
the cheese is good.
So we have PBR, cheese, and
hot dog capital of America,
well,
I guess.
Bratwurst, I think.
Bratwurst, there you go.
You have to be respectful.
Yeah. Oh, excuse him. Wow.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's what I would really hope somebody would do, you know.
Okay.
Turn this into a F1 standard, FIA standard.
I'll pick up the red phone and call Bernie.
Okay, good. Well, he's going to say only one thing. You have 35 million.
That's what the donate button's for, Nasser.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now we come, finally, we come to famous last words. And quote of the day is, there aren't enough people in the paddock who are passionate about racing, and it's filled with people who are concerned with posing in the paddock and going to bars at night so they can tell girls they are in Formula One. They haven't done anything in their life, and F1 gives them something that helps them feel better about themselves, unquote. And the great speaker is Jacques Villeneuve from December 2003, commenting on his view of the F1 paddock. And I have to say, this was the thing that Zanardi writes in his book also, which I guess you have now ordered, that the first thing he realized when he got on the F1 grid, that how many useless people are out there 2 minutes before the start of the race.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Those people, many of them help pay for the bills.
Very true, or some corporate. But it's the same in any sports. You know, I've been to a few non-motor sports events, either through media or whatever, you know, corporate entertainment. And you go there, and it's just like, you know, if it's a basketball game or a baseball game, 90% of the people in that so-called VIP suite, they're there for a good time. They have no interest.
Big money attracts lots of flies.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Easy on the eyes flies.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not so.
We're not talking sexy fly from.
No. But when you have sports that involve large amounts of cash, you're going to have
Elisabetta.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, which is fine with me.
Yeah.
I don't complain too much about it.
No.
Because I'm a regular guy.
Oh, I can see that.
Thanks, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with, of course, the conversation with Nasser Hamid and Romain Grosjean, and then we go right to the wrap-up. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with a gentleman from France, so he tells me, Romain Grosjean. Romain, first of all, congratulations on winning the GP2 Asia Series. What is the expectation from the main series?
Well, yet I still have plenty of things to learn. I think from the GP2 is very complicated category, so now with my teammate Luca, which has a lot of experience, is good for me. Now the main thing is taking a lot of experience and trying to find a good setup during the first half of the season, and then in the second half trying to be in front.
Apart from your teammate Luca, who do you think would be other main competitors for you?
I think they show yesterday. There is Maldonado and Zuber from Minardi, Pantano with Racing Engineering, and Luca and Bruno Senna as well. So there is at least six drivers able to win the title, so it means a lot.
Now, you were a latecomer to racing. You did not start till you were like 14, I believe. Lack of karting. First of all, how long were you in karting? And lack of karting, do you think that's a disadvantage to you?
I did 3 years karting between 14 and 17 years old. I guess quite late, but then I didn't stay too long in karting because it's very good experience, very good for the fight in racing, but then you need to step up. It's good, but it's not perfect for the setup. It's different with Formula Racing. So for learning how professional it is and the fight is very good, but then you need to see something else.
Are you still working at the bank, or is motor racing your full-time job now?
No, I'm still working every morning in Geneva, when I am in Geneva, of course. So it's quite good for me to keep this job and trying to see what is real life and what is my passion.
What is real life, banking or motor racing now?
Yeah, motor racing for sure. It has been for a long time, but being a banker is good as well.
Okay, now you are part of Renault Driver Development, right? How long you've been in that, and how important is it for your career to be in that program? Basically, what I'm trying to find out, where would you be if you were not a part of that program?
Yeah, I am in the RDD, Renault Driver Development, since 2006. For me, it was a big chance, because without Renault, I would be maybe nowhere. Budgets are very expensive when you step up to Formula 3, so then GP2 is worse. So you need to have a big constructor behind you, and being in the Renault Driver Development was for me a really good opportunity, and I'm very pleased to be in the program.
You are with ART. Who is guiding your career, Nicola Todd or Bravo Flavio?
That is more, for the moment, is more Flavio, which is my manager. So I think for the moment, I'm working with him, and he's with Bruno Michel, the boss of the Renault Driver Development. So they choose our career plan.
Last year you were F3 Euro Series champion. What was the best race for you, and what's the difference between a F3 car and a GP2 car?
Yeah, last year Formula 3, the best race was maybe Mugello. It was my first pole in Formula 3, and a great win in second race, so it was very good. And the difference are, the GP2 car is more heavy, more powerful, but the driving way we were using in Formula 3 is more or less the same. So for me, it was good to step up in the same team with no adaptation time, and that's important.
You raced in different parts of the world, and going back to GP2 Asia, which was the most fun, and the new cultures and new experiments, environment. What did you enjoy most from your GP2 Asia, apart from the racing scene?
I think GP2 Asia was a very good thing for us to discover new environments, new country, new condition. As Malaysia, it was 90% humidity, 35 degrees, seems like it was 50 at least. It was incredible. Then I saw the track in Sepang, and Bahrain was nice as well. So being in this type of country is something different, where you take a lot of experience, because not everything is always easy. Even things that seems easy in Europe seems harder there, and so it's good to make you harder, stronger.
You know, I heard a report initially that you were going to be a test driver for Renault. Have you driven a F1 car, and are there any plans for you to do more testing in the F1 car?
Yeah, I did half day testing for learning the car, but Renault is more focusing on the driver, racing driver, because they really need to make the car going faster, improve the car, because now it's not as good as they were expecting. But for the moment, I will do some roadshow. So demonstration, that's already good, and maybe when everybody will get more time, I will do some testing. But with the GP2 Asia and the series beginning just after, it was just impossible to test.
We do a program from California. Have you ever been to the United States? And do you follow American racing at all?
I've never been to USA. I need to go, of course. But I quite like NASCAR. It's fun. It's really life in the States. And now with the Champ Car and Yarl together, I think it will be nice as well. Good championship with a high level. So for sure, when you're a racer, you follow every race. And I like the fun of the race of USA.
You said you like NASCAR. Who is your favorite NASCAR driver? I have to know this.
Jeff Gordon, of course. He's the one for me. And always, when I play NASCAR game, I take Jeff Gordon.
Great. Do you have any interest or desire to take part in the Indy 500, which is a big institution?
Maybe one day. First, I have to focus on my dream of being a Formula One world champion. And then maybe if I have time, I could go there. For sure, it's Le Mans, Formula One, and Indy 500 are really big races, and you want to take part of them.
Okay, finally, how about a message for our listeners? And we have listeners in France, so how about a few words in Francais also, please?
Suivez bien la GP2, je pense que ça sera un grand spectacle et que la saison sera très sympa.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Romain Grosjean, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now let's go right to the wrap-up, and we've got the forum updates. I want to thank Miguel. Miguel is the full volunteer on the forum updates, so keep up the good work there down in Portugal. Proving that once a champion, always a champion, Schumi dominated the forum this week, first with his announced return, then with the news of his neck injury. By comparison, Piquet's firing was worth a paltry few comments, not all of them sympathetic. Other hot topics this week, trends in F1, a discussion started by Baumgartner fan on the role of manufacturers, privateers, and nationalism in Formula One. U.S. F1 drivers, Parrothead kicked off an exploration of the feasibility of U.S. F1's vision of an all-American driver lineup. Podcast 367 Surprise, Mr. David Tapia invited all to express their opinion on the latest podcast video coverage. A place to watch, F1 in Israel, in Buffalo, in Indy, want to watch the Grand Prix away from home or with other F1 fans. The forum is the place to ask. Overtaking. Vindicator 86 presented a series of suggestions to increase overtaking, and many listeners joined the debate. The petrol-powered garden implement thread. Boy, these things are getting completely out of control. There's just no supervision on this forum. A revived old thread dedicated to the competitive world of motor gardening that somehow involves a picture of a goat hanging from a tree. French cooking! Want to know how to cook bœuf bourguignon? Check out David Tapia's video on this thread. On Tuesday, August 11th, our members had made a total of 61,155 posts in 3,422 threads. We currently have 469 members registered, and Chemix is our newest member. The most users online at one time was 99 on March 31st, 2008, at 1721. Clearly, this is a record begging to be broken. Perhaps during the European Grand Prix in Valencia? Well, we'll see. Maybe if Schumi was there, but we know Fernando will, and that's all that counts. I want to mention this upcoming weekend's interview special podcast, and of course, once again, the word doozy comes up, because this is a conversation with Nasser Hamid and Speed TV's F1 guy, Mr. Bob Varsha. I want to give a quick shout out to openwheelrants.vox.com. That's www.openwheelrants.vox.com. Check it out. It's probably some pretty interesting blogging. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at 415-898-0999 or check out the website, marinkarting.com. I want to quickly mention our social networking sites, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. I think we're on a couple other ones I don't even know. And the producer is going, cut, 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 check, check, check. Check those sites out. Do a search for F1 Weekly or Nasser Amin, Clark Rogers, and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@F1Weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. I really do appreciate from myself, Steve, Nass, and David Tapia. Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.